Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Savannah Peterson. Like I said last week, I have a mini-series coming to you to really dive into the Farm Service Agency, or FSA as we like to call it. I've been talking with agency leaders about different programs available to Kansas farmers and ranchers and their impact on the state of Kansas. Last week, I talked with Dennis McKinney about different FSA programs available to Kansas farmers and ranchers and how they impact producers across the state. This week, I'm sitting down with Zach Duchesneau, who is the USDA FSA Administrator, to talk about farm loans. In this episode, Zach shares his knowledge about farm loans and he addresses how farm loans address needs within the industry. Zach, welcome to Inside Ag.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Of course. To kick things off, last week I talked with Dennis McKinney about different FSA programs available for Kansas farmers and ranchers. Can you explain to me the difference between the farm loan program and FSA programs that we talked about last week?
Yeah, well, they're similar and they're different. The farm loan programs are really targeted at folks that are unable to have their actual needs met in a commercial credit sphere. So they are, you think, mostly small family farmers, startups, new to ag, that next generation. They are, I would argue, the best financial tool there is out there for producers in those circumstances, producers recovering as well. The terms that we can offer and the rates that we offer them at are a tremendous benefit to the producer and a good investment of taxpayer resources. We can do a 40-year term on real estate. We can do up to a 15-year term on chattel notes. And of course, we do annual operating loans as well.
Awesome. And what was the purpose of farm loans when they were first kind of initiated? And what kind of need do they serve?
That's a really good question. They fill a role where lenders may not have the capacity or the inclination to be able to meet the needs of agriculture and the various risks that it brings with it. You've got weather risks, marketing risk, production challenges, disease like HPAI outbreak. All of those things are risk factors, and lenders, by their very nature, are typically risk averse because their risk pool is limited to their customer base. The notion behind federal lending is that federal lending has the risk pool of the United States Treasury and a broader reach, so a drought in the Northwest won't adversely impact peanut production in Georgia, for example. So that broader, more diversified risk pool allows us to step in there where lenders' risk appetite may not quite get them across the line to financing these important operations in rural America.
Perfect. Okay, I was doing some studying on different farm loans, and there's a lot of different programs available for farmers and ranchers. Can you just maybe walk through each program, give a little overview of kind of their purpose?
Yeah, I'll break them up into two main segments. There's the guaranteed loans where we have a partnership with our friends in the lending community. And in that program, there are subsets. So we've got the farm ownership loan, the farm operating loan, and then, of course, annual operating loans. On the guaranteed side, our relationship is with the lender. The lender and the borrower come together, contemplate a business plan. The lender makes a decision. This is something that is beyond our acceptable risk profile, but we would do it with a guarantee from the Farm Service Agency. Then the Farm Service Agency can come in there, guarantee the lender against loss up to 95%. So what that means is if the producer isn't able to pay and has challenges with solvency on the way out, FSA will come in and stand good for 95% of whatever the lender couldn't realize or recover in a foreclosure process. That's the guaranteed side. On the direct loan side, this is where the producer actually seeks and receives a loan from the Farm Service Agency itself. Within that category, we've also got farm ownership loans, farm operating loans, which is machinery, equipment, livestock, and then annual operating loans. A subset of those is our microloan program. And we have a microloan program for all three of those categories as well. That's for loans that are up to $50,000. And the idea is that because it's a microloan, we can do it with a little bit lower documentation, more of a scorecard type approach. We also have what is called our emergency loan program. That is when a producer realizes a loss that is greater than 30% of production, or a natural disaster rolls through that triggers an administrator's physical loss notice or a secretarial designation. they become eligible for emergency loans to help replace that lost income and stretch the cost of that disaster out over the next X production seasons instead of having to bear it all in that particular time frame.
Within those different loan programs, there's also a handful of different loan types. Can you just kind of walk through the different loan types and what farmers and ranchers need to know about them?
Yeah, as I mentioned, within categories, the guaranteed and direct, we have farm ownership loans. That's for the acquisition of real estate or the construction of fixtures on real estate. So think barns, calving sheds, or poultry houses, or what have you, or acquisition of actual real estate. Farm operating loans in the guaranteed side are for machinery, equipment, livestock. One way to think about that is really the income producing assets that you might acquire for your farming operation. And then, of course, there's the annual operating expenses, seed, feed, fertilizer, labor, livestock, if you're a feedlot operation. That's the annual operating expenses. The same basically applies on the direct loan side. Real estate acquisition, construction on that property would be farm ownership. Farm operating is machinery, livestock equipment, and then annual operating expenses. Of course, the same feed, livestock, seed, fertilizer, labor, fuel. Within those programs, we also have on the direct side that subset of microloan that's a lower documentation requirement.
So there are a lot of different types of loans that we have already talked about, but then there's also loans dedicated specifically to diverse populations within agriculture, some of those being beginning farmers and ranchers loans, minority and women's loans, and Native American loans. Can you maybe touch on some of these special loans and how producers might qualify for them?
Yeah, let me explain that a little differently for you. All of our loan programs are the same. When we're talking production agriculture, it's the same terms, the same rates for the most part. We do have a pool of loan availability that we set aside for historically underserved producers for a period of the year. That's veterans, young and beginning farmers, women farmers, and historically underserved folks by virtue of their race, ethnicity, or gender. When they get a loan, it's the same loan as everybody else gets. The same terms, the same security requirements, the entire gamut. One of the things that farmers should know when they apply for loans is there are really four portals into getting a loan with the FSA. The first is you have to be able to demonstrate that credit elsewhere doesn't meet your needs. Our statute literally says, prove in writing you can't obtain credit elsewhere sufficient to meet your actual needs. So when I read that, I think, well, that implies a comparison. So to your listeners, you do not need a denial from a bank in our regular loans. By virtue of the statute in emergency loans, you need a credit denial. But in our regular loans, you do not need a denial. You can come in and make your case and show how commercial credit might not meet your needs. After you clear the credit elsewhere portal, the next is credit history and credit worthiness. What we're going to do is look at your credit report and see if there's a history of repayment. And in cases where there are challenges, we'll just ask you to explain. And if you can explain to us how that was beyond your control, say it was a global pandemic or a fire came through and burned all your production. If that's the case, we can overlook that and still get you in the door based on your demonstration of creditworthiness by virtue of your credit history when things were within your control. Next is management experience. You have to be able to demonstrate in your application or in your interactions with our staff your management ability to carry out the plan as you've put it forward. Last and certainly not least is the cash flow. You have to have a plan that demonstrates a positive cash flow using realistic projections that meet all of your loan obligations with us, and that when combined with your off-farm income, if you have one, meet all of your household and other obligations.
Thanks for really breaking that down. For our farmers and ranchers that are in need of some extra assistance through farm loans, how do they kind of go about getting those, and what do they need to know or make sure that they have? I know you just kind of touched on that, but is there anything else?
Current updated financials, a balance sheet and a financial statement, and a cash flow statement. Historical production, but that does not mean a Schedule F. You can use a Schedule F if you have one, but if you have your production records sufficient to prove your operation has a production history, that's acceptable. And plan ahead. Because we have a lot of diversity in our production, our underwriting processes will probably take longer than the bank up the street. In order to preserve the integrity of the program, we have to make sure that we're making good investments of the taxpayer resources. So our team makes sure that we take the extra steps to make sure there's a great chance for recovery of that. It's important to note that you wouldn't want to come in April 16th expecting to get a loan by May 1st to buy some pears to put out on your property or to try to get your crop in the ground for a May 1st planting date. Plan ahead, be ahead of the game. That always is going to stand you in good stead with whatever lender you go to, but especially with the Farm Service Agency.
All right, Zach, what's on the horizon for farm loans? Are there any big changes coming to 2024?
We are working on some regulatory reforms that are going to improve the experience for our producers. Those are currently in the clearance process, so we can't discuss those a lot. Suffice it to say, they were constructed with a lot of thoughtful feedback from producers across the country, bringing my own history and reality to bear as a farm advocate and a child of the farm financial crisis, and a lot of input from our staff. So we think they're going to be beneficial not only to our producers out in the countryside, but to our staff as they implement the program, really promote a new era of flexibility and change our mindset from a borrowing and lending paradigm to one of an investment in a partnership. In addition to that, this administration has championed credit reform more broadly. For your listeners that are policy wonks, they can look at the president's budget for 2025, and there are 12 separate legislative proposals that we have offered in that budget submission for Congress to consider, including in their Farm Bill deliberations, that will enhance the regulatory work that we've got going on in clearance now.
Zach, is there anything else that you would like to add to this conversation today?
You know, I think we've covered most of it. There's one thing that I really like to point out. We've got to be cognizant that we are stewards of taxpayer resources. Our direct farm ownership loans, where the FSA does the loan directly without a bank partnering on it, have had a negative cost to the taxpayer for the last 11 years. But what that means is that when we have a young farmer that gets a real estate loan and they're able to structure that so that they can pay as agreed, that young farmer is actually, in effect, chipping away at the deficit and paying down the national debt. So we should really think about, why not do more of this? Why not have the FSA have a broader footprint, have us be a landing zone for folks that maybe get out there and get in distress? And you'll see some of that signaled in our legislative proposals and the 25 president's budget.
That's a very interesting note. Where can people go to find more information about the Farm Loan Program?
They can go to the farmers.gov website and click a few links there. We've got some online tools, the loan assistance tool. We've got an online application now for producers that have their level 2 e-authorization. And my phone number and email are on the website. And I try to reply to all of those myself in a timely manner. I get a little behind on them, but please feel free to use them if you're listening and have questions that you'd like to have answered by me.
Zach, thank you so much for joining me here on Inside Ag.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
We just heard from Zach Ducheneau about different farm loan programs available for Kansas producers and how these different programs can really help farmers in need. Last week, I talked with Dennis McKinney about FSA programs. If you haven't had the opportunity to listen to that, it really built on this conversation. Again, I'm your host, Savannah Peterson, here on Inside Ag. If you like this episode, be sure to share it with your friends.